3. I am by no means fond of you. The doctor hasn't changed in over 1,000 years. He fights passive-aggressively, if at all possible. There are no blazing rows, no blows. They only fence and they are pleased with each other. And the master of the experiments are not even sabotaged during the night. The doctor just stops visiting. He spends all his conscious time with Miss Tyler, where the master can't reach him, and if he sleeps, it is somewhere dusty that hasn't been used for the last 500 years. It is all so childish. Only mildly vexed by the doctor's ridiculous but predictable sentimentality over the Dalek, the master becomes distinctly angry at being ignored, at being dismissed, at the doctor's disgusting ingratitude. With active confrontation impossible, he is forced to creative reparations. He introduces a fast-growing mould in all the bathrooms and soars through the legs on the beloved chaise lounge. He finds the doctor's signed copy of Mein Kampf and leaves it propped up against the toaster. He hides Miss Tyler's shoes, if she is foolish enough to leave them in the console room, and leaves notes for her in the doctor's handwriting, asking that she pick up a large tube of hemorrhoid ointment next time she pops out to the chemist. Finally, he stops concealing the signs of his own presence. Gramophones are left playing in recently vacated rooms, fires left burning, a third toothbrush appears in the main bathroom, which is now hopelessly mouldy. The doctor cracks after a week of this warfare and barges into their bedroom without warning. Congratulations! Rose thinks we've got a ghost. Oh dear, the master says mildly. He keeps his expression infuriatingly neutral, which is no more than the coward deserves, and puts down his datapad. That is unfortunate. Did you tell her it was the ghost of your psychopathic ex-lover, or did you insist all her problems were her own doing? No, I bought her a lot of shoes and took her to see her dead father. Both were a mistake, the doctor says irritably, and sits down on the chaise lounge, which promptly collapses under his weight. The master attempts a dignified chuckle, but it emerges as unrepentant, wicked laughter. The doctor lobs one of the neatly sawn ex-lounge legs at his head with the accuracy of a former cricketing enthusiast, and the master only just manages to duck in time. Bastard, the doctor says from the floor. Indeed, the master agrees. His lips are still twitching with barely suppressed sniggers. Now, doctor, is it too much to hope for that you have finally finished this tedious sulking? The doctor shrugs against the wall, one leg stretched out in front of him. I don't know, have you? Are you planning to apologise? Am I planning to apologise? The doctor asks incredulously. My bathrooms are ruined. Rose thinks she's going crazy. This sofa, he gestures at the remains of the chaise lounge, once belonged to Queen Victoria. The master raises one elegant eyebrow. Did it really? How fascinating. All right, the doctor says seriously. I'm sorry. I should never have told you to go to hell. And here they are once more, perpetually apologising for the wrong thing. It's possible the doctor doesn't even realise his error, so in return the master says, And I, my dear doctor, am sorry that a perfectly respectable piece of royal furniture have to suffer in your stead. It did not deserve its cruel fate. The doctor huffs a short, disbelieving laugh and shakes his head. There is a long pause. The master waits. The doctor folds his arms. Eventually, for no reason other than that he is bored with the silence, the master says, So you took dear Miss Tyler to see her dead father. May I ask how that went? Well, I assume? The doctor gives him a hard look, which twitches into a poorly disguised grin. I was eaten by a reaper. And I don't mean almost eaten, actually eaten. He tells the rest of the embarrassing story without prompting. The master smiles and makes snide comments at appropriate points, which the doctor accepts with an amused tolerance. In a generous mood, the master decides this means he must have learned his lesson. When the doctor falls asleep on the floor, he must not have slept all week. The master refrains from drawing a debonair beard on his face in indelible ink. He watches the doctor sleep. Then he realizes what he's doing and has to leave.